Hey, welcome back. This is episode 9 of the Infamous Podcast, The Age of Comics. It's good to be a geek.
We're infamous. How about you?
I like that. We're infamous. How about you? That's like a greeting card from Hallmark.
I'm just freestyling.
What's up, Brian Williams?
What's up, Brian Tudor?
Drinking a Rolling Rock.
Having a Stella Artois.
Clink.
Is this the first alcohol podcast?
It is. It's sponsored by Rolling Rock. It's, and Stella Artois.
It's just called really. Laid Back Thursday. We had a rough week so far, so we decided
it's
to have
been
a
brew. Long week.
It has been. So, and this brew is cold and feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good seeing you, man. We haven't really talked all week, which I think will make tonight kind of fun.
Yeah.
All right, so just jumping right in, what comic books did you pick up this week?
All right, so you guys out there, from now on, we're gonna make this show even geekier.
Woohoo!
We're gonna start bringing our stacks. So I brought my stack tonight. So here's what I bought. I bought Dark Horse Comics: The Paybacks, written by, I guess, Donnie Cates. And Elliot Rahal, art by Jeff Shaw. Just real quick, Paybacks. Here's the tagline for the book: invisible jets, suits of armor, big ridiculous caves filled with toys. Let's face it, being a superhero is expensive. Sometimes heroes take out loans to pay for their super stuff. When they can't pay those loans off, they get a visit from the world's first and best super repo team, the Paybacks.
That would be like an awesome description read by you remember Don LaFontaine, the In a World, you know,
yes.
Like that guy, like him,
yes.
Reading that description.
Or Samuel Jackson.
Ooh, Sam Jackson would be good too, yeah. So, yeah, okay, so I did not get the Paybacks this week.
Because it was sold out.
It was sold out. So I'm going to try and find it this weekend.
Yes.
If not, I'll track it down at some point.
It looks like a fun, quirky, dark horse book. You know, sometimes they do this. I don't know if you remember, Rick Remender has reeled off a ton of quirky titles through Dark Horse. The End League.
Yeah.
Did you ever
No,
that?
I never did
yeah.
read that one.
Yeah,
so.
But I also picked up Robin, Son of Batman. It's like the fourth issue of the Year of Blood.
Yeah.
You got that one too?
I did. So we got a couple of the same.
Captain America White,
yep.
By the great team of Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. For some reason, I really don't like Jeff Loeb in other books, but these very focused,
yeah,
character studies of Marvel heroes.
The Spider-Man Blue, the,
yeah,
Daredevil Yellow.
Hulk Gray.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are excellent. Bought another quirky Image book. Image is synonymous with quirky.
Yeah.
Tokyo Ghost.
Oh, I didn't see this cover.
Tokyo Ghost, written by Rick Remender. I think, what is it? Is it Christian Murphy or...
Yeah.
Yeah, Christian Murphy is the artist.
Sean Murphy.
Sean,
sorry.
Murphy, my bad. I'm thinking Christian Colbert. What up, Christian Colbert? And then I picked up, at your suggestion,
yeah,
Drifter, the graphic novel, Ivan Brandon on the Wheels of Steel and Nick Klein on the pencils.
Yeah.
And I must say, I'm impressed.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this after we're done talking about what we picked up, because I, under your suggestion, picked up Descenders, and we'll get into that in a minute.
Descender,
sorry. I keep wanting to put the S on there.
Yeah.
All good books. Tokyo...
Ghost.
I keep wanting to call it Tokyo Drift. And Paybacks were gone by the time... I didn't get to the comic book store until like 10 minutes before it closed this week, so...
Do yourself a favor. Grab Paybacks in Tokyo Ghost early if you can this weekend, because they're going to be gone. I'm sure if your local comic book store ordered them, they're limited orders, because that's the only reason you didn't get.
Yeah, and I think he probably only got like 4 or 5 of each one. So.
Yeah.
Real quick, just thumbing through your issue of the Paybacks, I'm really liking how these new Dark Horse books that keep coming out are, like I mentioned it before we started, like it feels like Dark Horse has finally developed a Dark Horse style outside of like the Hellboy comics,
yeah,
which has its very own, like,
that's their
lovely
own corner
appeal.
Of Dark,
yeah,
Horse, yeah.
And I really like this. It's like, you know, the heavy lines yet like really subtle inks and, you know, just kind of graphics where it's you can tell the action that's happening on the page, and I personally really am digging it.
I come from a different angle on Dark Horse. I think Dark Horse is the antithesis of DC and Marvel.
Yeah. I mean, they just had their best quarter, I think, in like a really long time, which is awesome to hear since they lost Star Wars. And, yeah.
Well, and you know what? I think losing Star Wars was a natural progression for them because they had leaned on Star Wars, Terminator, mm-hmm. Aliens, and stuff like that for years.
Right.
And now this kind of forces them to be big boys and come up with their own material. Yeah. And they're doing quite well. Paybacks is looks like a fun, kind of like quirky take on superheroes. I mean, it's the superhero repo team.
I did like the cover because it looks like the animated series Batmobile is being repossessed. Batmobile's
getting repoed. Yeah,
which is pretty cool.
Yeah, so yeah, check that out. It looks like it's a well-done book. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to keep it real with you guys. Usually when I buy like a stack of books like this, I mean, if Brian and I were getting paid full-time to do this, I'd read them that night.
Yeah.
Or I'd read them the next day and then be here with a very, you know, detailed report. But you know what? I got a day job. So you know what? When it rains or when I get home from, you know, drinking a couple of brews, I read these books as we all should.
Well, I told you, I like to like set the mood. Like I'll light a candle, I'll put on some comfy like slippers and maybe a nice blanket, a cup of tea. And like, you know, I'll go out like on that big sectional couch we have out there, and on the end of the chaise part of it, just drop a stack of comics that all fall onto the floor, you know, and then have to pick them up and read them. But yeah, I'm right there with you.
And that's how a righteous fanboy behaves.
Yeah, I didn't read any of the books. Actually, no, I take that back. I read one book.
Do you walk
this
around
week.
With a stack, literally?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
So,
what the fuck?
Man. I read Invincible this week because I bought it digitally. Because, like we talked about last week, it's a book I've only ever bought digitally.
Yeah.
So, aside from Cap and Robin, Son of Batman, I got Lando, which you're going to go back and get because you forgot.
You know what? I feel shitty because I love Lando and this issue looks like it's really good. I'm telling you guys, if you guys aren't buying Lando, I'm serious.
There's one more issue left in the series.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's what they're doing. Like, so
limited miniseries,
which like I was lamenting last week, but like, you know,
about to end too?
No, Darth Vader is an ongoing book and it's about to go into a crossover with the main title called called Vader Down.
Yeah.
But then Chewbacca comes next.
I can't wait.
So I got that. I got Star Wars number 9 by
with
Jason
Han
Aaron.
Solo's African American
wife, whatever.
Or she's not African American.
Yeah, she's like.
She's like.
Can we just call
black
her black
alien?
So,
black alien.
Black alien.
Yes.
That's a cool like character name. So,
I'm sorry.
Like, do you follow MMA?
No,
at all.
No.
There's a team there, the Black Zillions. They're all black guys and Brazilians, and
that's kind
they
of
call
fun.
Yeah, it's Rashad Williams, and like they appear to have a ton of fun with everything that they do. So, I picked up the Spider-Verse Secret Wars Spider-Verse just because
you just can't resist.
It was the last
one. I saw it and it looks cool, and I like the Indian Spider-Man.
Yeah, the Indian
I like the
East
Spider-Man
Indian,
Noir too.
Yeah, Spider-Man Noir. I want. Like, that's one of the things, like, we talked about. Like, I would love to have a Spider-Man Noir, just mini-series. Maybe, like, you know, even go back to, like, the quarterly books, where it's like, maybe, you know, once every 4 months we get a cool Spider-Man Noir
you
story.
You didn't buy that original Spider-Man Noir series?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I did.
It was very fun. Did you buy the Iron Man Noir series?
No, I did not get that one.
That was good, too.
Yeah. So I got that.
That was fun.
Yeah. I picked up Voltron from the Ashes, number 1, from Dynamite. I'm a sucker for Voltron.
You're a Voltron guy.
Yeah,
I
am.
Get it.
So
I get it.
The lions, like apparently, allegedly, he was cars at some point, but like
wait, there were cars.
Like apparently, like that's what people say. But like, you know, people say there were 2 seasons of Buffy after she died in season 5, and you know, after Rocky 4, there were apparently more Rocky movies, which is completely news to me.
I know I used to watch Voltron and I always liked the opening credits, but I never liked the actual cartoon.
So stand up and grab that toy real quick and bring it over here. So that's a Comic-Con exclusive from a couple years ago from Maddie Collector. And the beauty of this is it's from Mattel. And There's a button on the box. So there you go. There's your opening that you love.
That's pretty slick.
It's pretty cool, right? Like, one of these days, we'll have to visit some of these toys in this office.
Yeah. And, they're the guests.
Yeah.
They're sitting here watching us as we...
They judge us.
Yeah.
So, like, I like to think it's like Toy Story. They all get together, and they, after we're done, and we leave the room, and I turn
what is
the light
out. What is the greatest cartoon opening ever? Period. Not just superhero. What's the greatest cartoon opening ever?
Oh... you know, I gotta go Flintstones.
I was thinking the same thing.
All right, nice.
But the Jetsons is a close.
His son, it just Elroy. Makes me laugh about our conversation about the Jetsons earlier.
Yeah, let's not go there.
All right, so then I picked up Green Lantern Lost Army number 4. Haven't read any of it yet. I have like every Green Lantern book since like 1987. So,
you know what I'm waiting for with Green Lantern?
Something fun to happen.
I'm waiting
again
for somebody to do like a strict procedural, like CSI type.
They kind of did like stuff with that with like the Lantern Corps, Green Lantern Corps book, with like the Alpha Lanterns and that kind of stuff.
Were you reading in the New 52 when they, like in the first maybe 10 issues of the Green Lantern Corps, where there were these old school Green Lanterns and they were sitting down in this?
Yeah.
That was, they were like the Dirty Dozen.
Yeah, they were like the secret like assault team, whatever, like the strike team, like.
And
from
one
the
of
Shield.
Them looked like George Pappard from Hannibal from the A Team.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and then just to kind of finish this out, my last book I got this week is like my favorite guilty pleasure book, and I don't know if you're reading it or not, but it's called Sex Criminals. It's from Image. It's by Matt Fraction and Chuck Zdarsky, which I found out that's how you say it. This book cracks me up. It's total tongue-in-cheek. It's hilarious. It's, you know,
I mean, you know, once again, not to be the wet dish rag always, because some people don't like listening to me complain about books, but yeah, it's just not really.
Well, I mean, you didn't read it.
I read the first issue on Comixology.
Yeah.
It was free.
Wait, you...
It's okay.
So, oh, you bought it off Comixology. Never mind. Yeah.
It's
so, like,
okay.
You can't get that book through iOS Comixology because there's nudity in the book and they have, like, a no-nudity policy.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like, if you want it, you have to go buy it to Comixology and then, like, upload it to your app that way. But, yeah. All right. So, you know, we both got a lot of books this week.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of why we have the title of the show.
The Age of Comics.
It feels like it's a really good time to be a nerd, to be a geek.
It is.
To be just into any kind of this genre stuff.
It is.
You know, we have our big comic book show here in town this weekend.
Comic-Con. Cincy Comic-Con.
Cincinnati Comic Expo.
Cincinnati Comic Expo, my bad.
So, the Cincy Comic-Con is something else. And anyway, yeah. So, like, I know I'll be down there all weekend with Johnny. So...
Yeah.
I actually made an Infamous podcast shirt, or my wife did, more appropriately.
Yes.
And I'll have some of those stickers to pass out.
They look good. Actually, he's also he's crafting a new logo that I think is pretty cool.
Well, no, not a new logo, just kind of a new image for the website and our
cover
Facebook
page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, just something a little more colorful and fun and,
I mean, I really love
more indicative of what we are.
I really love the regular logo.
Yeah,
too.
I'm glad you like the logo.
Yeah.
Considering it was done in what, 3 minutes?
Yeah, we sat at a bar at Fridays.
Drinking beer.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. So you have Drifter. Let me pull up Descender on my iPad. So we recommended basically two science fiction books to each other. We both read them. We both loved them, I think would be accurate.
Yeah, we loved them. I'm a huge fan of this writer named Jeff Lemire, and I first encountered Jeff Lemire on Animal Man.
Yeah, it was the biggest surprise from the New 52.
Very creepy, and I think he was the artist,
wasn't
he, of Animal Man.
I don't know. We can look that up.
Maybe not. Anyway, he was very he was a very integral part of Animal Man, and that's where he first came on my radar. And then I used to read this newspaper or blog in the LA Times. I forget what it's called. It's a blog that's dedicated. It's a news.
Their geek thing, whatever it's called. I know what you're talking
LA
about.
LA Times. I forget. Yeah. The Hero Complex.
Yeah.
Okay. But they did a write up on Jeff Lemire and the Hero Complex.
Yeah.
Somebody's already optioned Descender.
Oh, nice.
As a movie. And I love this art by this guy, Dustin Nguyen.
Yeah, and so he did Little Gotham.
Yeah.
Which
I would never touch.
It was a DC.
It looks cool, but I would never touch it.
It started out as digital first, and then they would collect the digital ones.
It's one of those books that have little pint-sized versions of the characters.
Yeah, you see little Robin up there. Yeah. That's from Little Gotham.
Yeah.
Damian Wayne. So it was
good.
It's
like My Little Pony and stuff like that. It's just like... Hey, you know, there might be people out there like My Little Pony.
Like the 8-year-old.
I don't want to be negative and criticize.
The 8-year-old that lives upstairs. Like, yeah. She loves that. She gets 2 My Little Pony books.
That's cool, but you and I are going to look like jackasses walking out of the store with My Little Pony. And
yeah, like I cover it. I put like in the middle of the stack.
Yeah.
That and SpongeBob.
Right.
But no, so yeah, so Justin Nguyen did that. He did some Batman Beyond stuff, which was cool. And
Batman Beyond is always cool. Batman's just cool.
Just in general.
You know.
Like James Bond.
You know, Batman is just cool. I've criticized Batman a lot on this show.
You know what, though? It's tongue-in-cheek, because we know you love Batman. We were talking today that you wished you had Batman Chuck Taylor Converse like mine.
I mean, you know, he's just cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, there's a recent Batman issue in which Batman confronts... police brutality in the ghetto.
Oh, boy.
I just want to go on record as saying Brian Williams, myself, wrote a book called Lucius Hammer where Lucius Hammer confronts police brutality in the ghetto years before Batman did it. So I feel good because I did it before Batman and Superman did it.
You, my friend, are a trendsetter and a groundbreaker.
I'm actually going to post those pages.
Yeah, I think we should. Yeah. So.
But anyway, hey, this Descender book is, I mean, I've been telling you, it's a keeper. I mean, it's a beautifully illustrated book, well written, not overly verbose.
No.
The pictures tell the stories.
Yeah. Like you could look at this and the artwork that it is could tell, like, you know, you would get the gist of the story with no problem.
Yeah.
You know, you showed me this, I think, with issue 2 or 3.
Yeah.
It's been, I mean, this is the start of our...
Ninth.
Yeah, this is the start of our third month doing this. So, you know, there's been a few issues that came out, and I said specifically, this looks awesome, I'm going to buy the trade. And then, the minute the trade came out, what did I do? I bought it, and I texted you a picture of it in my...
He copped it.
Anyway, so I've read it twice. And
you're impressed.
Yeah, I was. And you know, it holds up to multiple readings. I like the whole thing with the harvesters. I like the Tim 21 robot. The other thing I like about this book is, just to share a little bit about myself, I'm terrified of artificial intelligence.
Really?
Yeah, it's just like one of those.
As dependent as you are on artificial intelligence. You surely don't look like you're scared of it.
No, I'm totally like, when the robot overlords come down, I'm selling all of you out.
It's not going to go down like that.
I'm going to sell you all out.
It's going to go down completely different. You're probably going to have like several AI concubines in your basement. But anyway.
Anyway, it plays AI up on that. Concubines? You did, yeah. So
that sets our show aside from a lot of other shows.
So yeah, so like again, thank you for bringing this one into my world. I loved it.
Now it's time for me to be thankful.
Yeah. So,
Drifter, I've read about halfway through this book, and what is cool, guys, about being a writer and a fan is I had a very similar idea to Drifter about I'd say 4 years ago. And my idea was actually entitled Drifter.
Yeah.
And you know, there are a lot of common ideas that circulate throughout the comic book world. Nothing is new under the sun, as Shakespeare once said. Bottom line, I had this same idea. So when I saw Drifter on the comic book racks, I was like, fuck. You know, I mean, no. I'm not gonna pick that shit up because I don't want to see the exact same shit I was imagining. But, you know, my stalwart colleague here influenced me to pick it up. I waited till the trade came out because I couldn't find all the single issues.
Yeah, and again, that's just kind of the nature of Image Books at our particular comic book store.
And, you know, without getting too deep, you know, it's like, it's really like it comes off to me as like a Western on an alien world. Feel,
yeah, he's very much a gunslinger.
And I mean, you know, of course we got that imagery through the title, Drifter.
It's heavier, like, tone-wise. Than Descender is?
It is. No, Descender is like a space fairy tale.
Space opera, even?
But I tossed the fairy tale in there. But yeah, fairy tale, I like that. So. Yeah. But Drifter is a space survival epic, I would believe.
And it's not really clear exactly, like, especially when you start out. Like, you're halfway through. Like, have you got to the part with the priest yet?
Yeah.
Okay, so like it's like that part comes into it and it's like, wait, like it feels like out of left field at first, but then
it's a Western.
It just tells the story and like it just comes around and like literally punches you in the face.
This guy wants to tell a Western set in an alien environment, and I think that's cool, which thankfully is not like my Drifter, which is going to be changed to Drifting.
Drifting.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway. Like, are you gonna get Lucas Black and, you know, he was in Tokyo Drift. He was the kid who went from L.A. to Tokyo and learned how to drift.
You're assuming
the Fast and Furious.
You're assuming that I watch Fast and Furious, and you should know me by now that I don't watch.
How do you not watch the Fast and Furious?
Because they're garbage.
They are garbage, but they are fun garbage.
Okay. So sometimes I don't indulge in fun garbage, like The Visit. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last M. Night movie I saw.
Yeah, you do.
Mm-mm.
Lady in the Water.
No, I never saw that one.
Shut up. You saw it. He was still, I did not see The Village then.
I said, yeah, I guess The Happening was the last one. Because I walked out of that I saw it in a theater too, and I walked out wishing The Happening happened to everybody that made the happening. So.
Especially Marky Mark. Just, but anyway.
Yeah.
But Drifter, Descender, Drifter, these are definitely
must buys.
Certified infamous.
Yeah.
Get on now so you don't have to say, you know, nobody told you. If you don't know, now you know.
They're both about 7 issues in. There's not a lot of catch up to do. I read Descender in hour and a half. It's 270 pages for the trade.
It's just awesome. Yeah. It's a perfect combination of writing and art. And Drifter, wow. I mean, I don't like Drifter as much as I like Descender, but I really like Drifter. It's really well written, and it's drawn well. You feel like you're on another planet.
It's the pacing of Drifter is really good, and it's kind of like High Noon, you know?
Yeah.
Where you think you know what's happening, but like there's subtext that's going on.
Yeah, it's got some High Noon texture. You ever seen Outland with Sean Connery?
Yes.
I kind of felt some of that in there.
Yeah.
I know that's I think that's a John Borman movie. That guy that directed Excalibur.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think Outland was an old Sean Connery movie that was basically meant to be High Noon in space. Drifter has that kind of appeal to it. But anyway, pick it up. You won't be disappointed. Another book that I picked up is called Tokyo Ghost. I picked it up. My son is into anime. He's into the whole Japanese culture.
Revenge on Titan.
Attack on Titan.
Sorry.
you know, all that. And he saw Tokyo Ghost, and he was like, Tokyo, that's going to be cool. Wow, let's pick it up. And he saw this guy like on an Akira-style motorcycle. So he wanted to pick it up, and so did I. I was at the comic book store. I picked him up a copy. Picked myself up a copy.
I tell you what, like, drew me to this is the guy with like basically the Nintendo Power Glove arm. that it's the Power Glove, it's the old school NES controller, and then it's the old school Atari controller. Like, I don't know if that's his arm or if, like, that's, like, a glove, like, gauntlet thing he's wearing.
Well, I don't want to spoil it, but I'll tell you this. Tokyo Ghost is about our current obsession with apps and America and the world just being, in general, ADD. We always got to have something going on. Netflix, your phone, some Xbox streaming, PS4 streaming. We always got to have some type of thing going on in the background.
I like to sit down and just kind of read with nothing else going on.
No, you're not. You're surrounded by technology.
Yeah, and I turn it all off, and I have that Kindle, and like I sit down, and I'll read for 4 hours.
Well, yeah, still a Kindle. So that's what they're trying to say. But in Tokyo,
they Tokyo went the opposite
has decided
way,
right? to go the opposite way of everybody, and they've returned to
which
the
is irony
robes and swords and the more practical way of life without technology.
Yeah.
And then you drop in the middle of this mess the two main characters, who one is this hulking brute that reminds you of Marv from Sin City.
Oh, nice.
And this little kind of like waif type chick that's on the cover with a gun, and you know, of course, she's scantily clad. But the first issue is very. It's very interesting. It's a Rick Remender joint.
Mm.
So, you know what you get from Rick Remender? You get quality concepts. They don't always hit as hard as I want them to. Rick Remender, to me, will forever be a classic dude because of Fear Agent.
Yeah.
Fear Agent is my... Hey.
He left Marvel, right?
Fear Agent,
he's not at Marvel.
Yeah,
so, I mean, like, maybe he will get more, like, quick-hitting or hard-hitting... Now that he's focusing on creator owned.
I'm going to tell you all something. Fear Agent is my shit. Is my shit. And if you have the extra ducats this weekend, get Fear Agent graphic novel number one and just sit back and just immerse yourself. I believe, what's the guy that did The Walking Dead first issue?
Tony Moore.
Tony Moore is the artist of the first run on The Walking Dead. Our first run of Fear Agent, and it's on Piggity Point. Please check it out.
What is Piggity Point?
Piggity Point means that's extra emphasis on point. It's on point.
Cool. All right. So
Robin,
are we good on? We're gonna talk about Robin. I didn't read Robin yet.
Did you? I didn't read Robin?
Either. All right. So either. We both got Robin.
I paged through it. Robin. Deathstroke is in there. Deathstroke is kicking much ass. That big ass red bat that Robin flies is like fighting and holding up columns to this building. I mean, this shit looks beautiful.
Yeah, it's Gleason.
The one
Patrick
thing
Gleason,
I'll say
right?
about Gleason, sometimes he does something that's very similar to Chris Bacalo. Yeah. You remember we discussed this on X-Men. Chris Bacalo is a dope ass artist, but sometimes his shit is so detailed, I'm like, the fuck is that? Is that a vagina? No. You know, I'm just playing. That was for my friends out there. You know who you are.
That was for America.
But the coolest page in this book, the Robin book, is the last page. They find a pit of green
goo.
And this is not the Fantastic Four movie.
You mean he's not going to have like his Robin suit like meld to his body?
He's not going to be wrapped in cellophane and start busting people's heads like scanners.
All right. So all in all, this is a good week for comics. So go get your books. Go get Drifter. The first volume's out. Go get Descender. The first volume's out. Let's also just say, even though we're not going to talk about it, go get Chrononauts Volume 1.
Brian just waved me off, but I'm going to go beyond him.
You want to talk about Captain America?
It's Captain America White. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to say it's good. We waited a long time for it. It's here. And Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale do the usual. They put their foot down in it. It's good. So... pick that up. And it's a double-sized issue, too. I think.
I'm excited to tear into that one. It looks like there's a lot of cool like sketch art at the end, too.
Yeah, it's good. Nice issue. All right.
So I want to talk about movies. All right. Like, I love movies. You love movies.
Let it rip.
Movies, movies, movies. There is a movie that came out earlier this year starring Oscar Isaac, who's going to be Poe Dameron in The Force Awakens, and Ivan Ooze, I mean, Apocalypse, and X-Men Age of Apocalypse.
Age of Garbage.
Age of Avenues.
Age of Ass.
Now, actually, they released some new, like, artwork where he looks, like, more traditional.
He has, like, so, the big lips.
Yeah, like the, like the, like the underbite thing.
Get the fuck out of here.
So, it's
that,
him.
That is the next Fantastic Four disaster. Sorry, ex... Yeah. Sorry, ex-zombies.
Ex-fans.
Sorry, ex-people that just accept any garbage just put on screen, but...
I'm the juggernaut, bitch.
Days of garbage past.
Yeah. First Class was good, is my favorite. Oh,
First Class was awesome.
And it's because...
You know why?
It's Matthew Vaughn.
Matthew Vaughn.
Okay, so...
Mr. Kick-Ass himself.
Yep.
Another great movie.
Yeah. We'll talk about... You know what?
When Nicolas Cage busts in as Big Daddy and just starts ganking motherfuckers like... Pop, pop, pop!
We should do a whole episode of the Kick-Ass comics versus the Kick-Ass movies, because they're both great in their own right.
You know what else? And we'll get on this on another episode because I know we're running out of time. You know what else? Fucking Kick-Ass 2. Jim Carrey terrified the shit out of me.
He was awesome as Captain
Patriot. And then he tried to distance himself from it. Yeah. And I'm like, dude. Because
it was too violent. It's like, no, this is what you should do.
Dude, embrace. You were fucking brilliant. He was brilliant.
This is his best role since The Truman Show.
It was like some Goodfellas shit. Yeah.
All right, so... movies, real quick. Not real quick, because we're going to talk about two movies here. The first one is, came out this year, 92% on Rotten Tomatoes, fresh, stars Oscar Isaac, stars Dom Hall, I guess, Gleason, who's also going to be in Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Everybody's in fucking Star Wars.
Yeah, no kidding. If you're British, you're in it. He was in About Time with Bill Nighy. He was the oldest Weasley brother in the Harry Potter movies. And then... Alicia Vikander?
Vikander?
Whatever. The movie's called Ex Machina.
We gotta get better at pronouncing names.
No, we don't.
Shit.
That's like what... That's our charm.
makes the episode, huh?
Anyway, so the movie is Ex Machina. You watched it.
Yeah, at your urging.
And...
I was interested at first in it, but I was like... It kind of reminded me of... from the trailer, it kind of reminded me of Her...
See, I haven't seen Her yet, but I think it's on like Netflix or HBO now.
I love
so,
Her.
On my to watch list this
I
week.
I loved Her. It just it depressed me and zoned me out, and it was also incredible.
Was Scarlett Johansson the voice of the phone?
Scarlett Johansson she was incredible. You never see her.
Yeah,
she was incredible, and I mean, you know, Joaquin Phoenix is my dude.
I know. So yeah. I like him too. But
yeah.
Okay, so. Ex Machina is about this rich tech guy who has invented...
Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, Oscar Isaac. He invents this AI, and he
The other guy reminded me of Paul Bettany.
Yeah, he does. He has that feel about him. His character, like, you know, wins this mysterious trip to go visit the CEO at his
They position house. Oscar Isaac like he's Steve Jobs or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of give him that allure. And he's like in the, he's sequestered in this like
he's living in this like compound in the middle of nowhere
brilliant that, technological compound
so.
Beautiful primeval forest surrounding this
you know I half expect to see like a raptor run by
some animatronic creature
wow you know we wouldn't have known
right.
And so what he's done is he's created this robot android whatever you want to call it and he's doing some tests with. This employee from his company to see if the robot knows it's a robot and like it's a giant like just kind of mind fuck.
Yeah. And it, you know what as you're describing some of the elements I just realized it's a lot like Blade Runner conceptually.
Mm-hmm. Well the whole idea of the replicants and things like that.
Yeah.
How
Harrison Ford knows she's a replicant.
Yeah.
But he falls in love anyway
cuz he's a replicant.
That's how this played to me. And I liked it, and it was appropriately scary, and Oscar Isaac is a sick fuck.
Yeah, oh, super sick. So again, this plays up on my fear of AI.
Yeah.
It plays up on my fear of anyone inviting me to come to a secluded house in the woods. You will
be the first motherfucker to have an AI concubine.
I won't have a concubine. I'll have like an AI butler or something like that.
I mean, look at all the technology that you have immediately when it comes out. You'll have some type of AI person walking around here.
I want that new BB-8 Sphero thing, and I want him to just patrol the first floor of my house.
Anyway, it was a good movie. Good flick, well worth watching.
Yeah. I liked it because it played up on some of the fears I had when I initially watched it. I've watched it probably three times total now. The first time I watched it, I watched Tusk from Kevin Smith one night, and then I watched Ex Machina the next night. And they're both like kind of similar in the way that you're at this weird secluded house with this weird eccentric person who's trying to like fuck with you.
Yeah.
Ex Machina, far more successful at doing so than Tusk.
Once again, but, nothing new under the sun. Yeah. But it's the way you present it, the way you flip it, and they did a good job with this. I have trouble with the word Ex Machina. I know it's like almost like out of the machine, but I don't know that Machina or Machina is the right way to pronounce it, but we'll figure that out later.
Good movie. Written and directed by Alex Garland. I don't know what else he's done. Let's see real quick. He's a creepy looking dude, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got that goth type.
Oh, he did 28 Days Later.
Emo shit. What? No, he didn't. Oh, he did
Dread?
Danny Boyle did.
No, he wrote.
Oh, he wrote it.
Yeah, he wrote Dread.
Sunshine. He works with Danny Boyle. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is his first director credit, so.
Well, that's very promising because it was good. I really enjoyed it. 1970.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay.
Very cool.
Anyway.
Okay, so Ex Machina, go see it.
Thumbs up. Check it out.
Check it out. Be thoroughly entertained and terrified. All right. And then we've been promising we're going to talk about this. We haven't done a blasphemy in a while. Brian Williams, go with it.
Blasphemy. Blasphemy is, hey, if you like something but you feel incredibly embarrassed about it, or if you hate something but everybody else likes it and you still feel embarrassed.
And like, you don't know why.
Why
you
don't I like it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what blasphemy is about. This is strange. I saw The Sixth Sense when it came out like everybody else did, and M. Night Shyamalan came onto my radar. I really liked what he did with The Sixth Sense. Sixth Sense is one of my favorite movies. So I began to follow him, and my cousin actually was a body double in the movie for Samuel L. Jackson. So I got a chance to read the script before the movie even came out.
Of
Unbreakable.
Unbreakable. Yeah, we're not talking about The Sixth Sense. Our blasphemy this week is Unbreakable.
Well, I brought up The Sixth Sense. It was a lead-in.
You were leading in. Sorry. Because you said body double, and I thought you were talking about The Sixth Sense.
No. So my cousin was a body double for Samuel L. Jackson. He told me, hey, man, I know you like Night Shyamalan. He's got a new script, Unbreakable. You want to check it out? I'm like, fuck yes, I want to check it out.
Yes, please.
So he sends it to me. It's a battered little script, sends it to me in the mail.
Just a couple dailies.
It was a rainy day. Mm-hmm. Not much going on around the house. Wife's doing her thing. Kids are running around. So I sit down.
You
lit
a candle. You put some slippers on. Nice cup of chamomile.
Yeah, a little Barry White playing in the background. You know what I'm saying? And I sit. I sink Let's into the. No, that's Marvin Gaye.
Oh yeah, you're right. You're right.
Jesus. He's a true geek. Anyway,
I'm young.
I'm reading this script on this rainy day, and I'm like, this is fucking awesome. The idea of it is awesome. And then the movie was released. Went to see it Thanksgiving night at the Showcase Cinemas, and I just hated it. I liked Bruce Willis, and I liked Samuel L. Jackson, but they took themselves way too fucking serious.
Yeah.
The tone... I like the tone, but then I hate the tone. Because it's like, what does Samuel L. Jackson actually do?
He creates disasters with his comic book fuck you money from being a comic book collector. Like, that's so... Like, to me... All right, so I this is my favorite M. Night. M. Night. How you say it? M. Night?
M. Night. Shyamalan Ding Dong.
So this is my favorite M. Night Shyamalan movie.
And that, for that alone, for that statement alone, you should be slapped. Anyway. That's better than Sixth Sense and Signs. Get the
I liked
fuck
it better than
here.
Both, yes. I did like Signs. I really like Signs.
Why?
But I like... So, why? There's just something about that, like... And he does this well. Like, and I will give him credit. He does the dare to be great scenario.
You like the opening scene where Bruce Willis is, hey, can I see that magazine?
No.
That's fucking garbage.
What
That's
I don't like about
garbage.
The movie is the pacing of the movie. Yeah. What I do like about the movie is the idea and the concept.
If you shoot me with that gun,
I'm going to leave.
I'm going to leave town.
It's not going to hurt me, but I'm going to go somewhere where there's no water for me to drown in.
Put some more weights on this. Shut the fuck. I mean, just the whole time I was thinking to myself, and then...
Well, like, he
you
knew...
You don't remember me being sick? Do you remember when I was sick? Bitch, what do you have? Amnesia, too?
And in the year 2000, a $40 a week raise, I'd be like, you can keep your fucking $40 a week, all right? Like... I mean, what's he making, like, $6 an hour? Like, I mean, he's a security guard at Temple.
And I'm going to tell you this right now. He was, did it take place in Philly?
Yeah.
Yeah, as always, all night Shyamalan moves. Okay, if Bruce Willis walks through a train station with his hands held out like that, touching people, he's going to get his ass beat or arrested. The fuck out.
He's going to get some batteries thrown at him.
Yeah, I mean.
Like, he's going to be like that robot, the hitchhiking robot that got beheaded in Philadelphia.
Bruce Willis is constantly in this state of perpetual sadness. Well, it's like.
Well, so what I did. So here's one thing I never understood about the movie. And maybe you can, like, shed some light on it.
Yeah.
Is he knew. He was special from the time he was a teenager when they were in a car accident and he faked a back injury, even though he never got hurt, right? Why is it all of a sudden he's in his, like, 40s or whatever, and he's like, wait a sec. Like the little, like, Edison light bulb went off above his head, and he's like, hey, I'm something more. And then...
Because I guess part of his superpowers, the motherfucker had amnesia or something. I don't know. That's where
you
want to
talk
down.
About a lame rogues gallery, though. Mr. Glass.
Okay. Let's talk about my favorite part of the movie. And not just because I'm black. I loved Samuel Jackson's crazy as fuck performance.
His hair was awesome.
First of all, his hair is fucked up.
It's like an afro with a part.
Yes.
Like, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh yeah, my mother did that to me when I was little. She combed my hair for picture day one time and picked my afro out and put a part in it.
So, like, the part. Like, I remember seeing it, I'm like, how does that even work? Like, what did he put in his hair? Like, it's voodoo.
It's just, you just pick it out and
yeah,
part it.
Right.
I mean, it was the bicentennial when I was taking these class pictures and my mother decided to part my hair, look like fucking Frederick Douglass. Damn. I just had a white man correct me on my, too much Stella. Anyway, yeah, I look like fucking Frederick Douglass. And that's what Samuel Jackson looks like. But my favorite scene is when he's in a comic book store and he's like knocking over comics.
Oh, when he's all pissy in his wheelchair and he's like,
how much for this comic? Yeah, I mean,
crash.
I will say this: it was a daring concept, and I like the fact that he put comic books out there.
Yeah,
and that was the first movie to try to intelligently take the comic book genre or the comic book
ideal,
the concepts we grapple with in all comic books, and put it in a movie. It was like a beginner's tester for people that aren't into comics.
Well, this was, 2 years after Blade? Because Blade was 98, right?
Yeah.
And then it was a year after the first X-Men? Or was it a year before the first X-Men?
I can't remember.
It was right around that time. But,
here's the thing about Wesley Snipes' Blade. It was based on a comic book. Mm-hmm. But it felt more like an action horror movie than a superhero movie.
Well, and I rewatched that the other night. I was thinking, I think I was texting you while I was watching it. Because remember, I was like, hey, I'm watching Blade. And you're like, we just talked about this. I said, I know, but it's on TV.
Somehow
it was on
we talk
HBO.
About Blade every episode.
We do. We talk about Blade every week. We love Blade. But, you know, I've only seen Blade 2 once and I didn't like it.
I didn't either. I'll be honest with you.
It's one I feel like I need to revisit.
That's another blasphemy.
Yeah.
But it can't be a blasphemy
when we both hate it or both dislike it.
I hate it. I don't hate it.
I feel like you know what we should do.
Del Toro do
is you and I should sit down and watch that together again and talk about it the whole time. We'll do a.
You know who I truly hated in
Ron Perlman.
No, Boondock Saints, Walking Dead boy.
Oh,
the one that everybody loves,
Norman Reedus.
Yeah, I hated him in that. I want to take Blade's like little. You know how Blade smiles and he has that little thing.
The little S like yeah. throwing star.
I want to throw that at Norman Reedus and be like, get the fuck off this movie. He was annoying, yeah. Very annoying. But anyway, back to Unbreakable. I thought Samuel Jackson's performance was appropriately gonzo as fuck. Yeah. He was crazy, but he was not much of a menace. I mean,
he fell down the stairs.
This is a guy that can get his ass broken by anything. A
gust of wind.
Yeah. So what kind of supervillain is that?
Well, like I said, lamest rogues gallery ever.
Do you remember that comic book he wanted from the comic book store? The name of the superhero?
Oh, now I forget.
Jaguaro.
That's right.
I mean, but you know, once again, there's a lot of people that love that movie, and since it uplifts comic books, oh well.
Yeah.
You know. I own it.
Yeah.
I bought it, you know. You're
a fanboy. We do those fanboy things.
And you should see the director's commentary.
Yeah.
This was when Night Shyamalan thought he was the shit.
When he thought he was the next coming of Alfred Hitchcock.
When he thought he was Spielberg. Remember Newsweek?
Yeah.
You remember the cover of Newsweek when they were like, he's the next Spielberg?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry that didn't pan out for you.
You want to talk about a guy that bought into his own hype.
Oh.
And like he only read his good reviews.
The director's commentary will make you throw up. I mean, he just thinks he's the shit.
Like, you know, this is semi off topic. The movie with the best director's commentary ever is Fight Club.
Yes.
With David Fincher and Edward Norton.
There's another movie. There's another movie with a good commentary too.
Seven.
Oh yeah. Oh, you've named three.
So.
You named two, and I'm gonna name the third.
All right.
Three Kings.
Yes.
You like Three Kings?
I love Three Kings.
Oh, what do you think about... This is off topic.
I like Spike Jonze. I really, really like Spike Jonze.
I do too.
So...
He hits me here. That was depressing.
I liked it though.
It was good.
But the book's depressing.
Spike Jonze.
Yeah, I know. And
did you know this? Did you connect this? Spike Jonze...
I haven't seen her yet.
Spike Jonze and Sofia Coppola were married.
I did not know that.
And they got divorced. And her was his response to their divorce.
Uh-huh.
And how could I forget this? Because it's one I don't often like romantic movies, but what is the one she won the Oscar for?
The Virgin Suicides?
No. Bill Murray, Scarlett Johansson.
Lost in Translation.
That was her response to their divorce.
Oh, all right.
And both of them are brilliant fucking
movies. Lost in Translation is a really good
movie. Oh, man. I mean...
It was like the first time we really saw Bill Murray as a dramatic actor.
No, he tried and, to like, do it before.
Razor's Edge. But I mean, like, seeing him, like, really good. Yeah. But, like, and then, like, that was really, like, our first introduction to, like, Scarlett Johansson and, like, that kind of a role. Not as, like, the little kid actress. Like, that was her, like, hey, world, I'm growing the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know?
And she was.
Yeah.
And but a well-written... Very well written movie. I wonder what happened to Sofia Coppola. Why didn't she do anything else?
I think she still does stuff. It's
just on that
but
auteur kind of like
She did that Virgin Suicides movie with Kirsten Dunst. I think it had Ashton Kutcher in it, like really young Ashton Kutcher, if I remember correctly. It was okay. It was about like five sisters.
I just remember one scene where they played Magic Man by heart. That's a kick ass song.
But I just said
kick ass.
Yeah, we need to do a kick-ass episode.
I said kick-ass three times, four times now.
You think he'll show up like Beetlejuice?
We need to do a Beetlejuice episode.
Dude, Beetlejuice totally holds up.
Oh, it does. I mean, that's one of Michael Keaton's masterpieces.
Yeah. I mean, him, Gina Davis, Alec Baldwin, and Winona Ryder. Like, it's the four of them, maybe each of their best movies.
Quietly, Michael Keaton's my favorite Batman. Quietly. Yeah,
there's no quietly about it. He was our Batman, you know.
Do you remember the first night you saw? Did you see that at the movie theater?
So we went and saw that at like the crappy Lebanon theater with the like the tear in the screen and gum all over the floor. Yeah. And like we were the first people in line. And it was what, 88? Yeah. So I was
89.
So I was going into I was in sixth grade, you know? And like I was there with my Batman shirt on and I hadn't hit my growth spurt yet, so I was still like under 5 feet tall and I'm like, Batman, Batman.
You know what's weird at revisiting that? I was in college. Mm. And
well, because, as we've said before, you're significantly older.
Exactly. Yeah. Fucking Red Fox and you're Ashton Kutcher. Anyway, I remember when I went to see it, man. The movie theater... Actually, let's not even talk about the opening of Tim Burton's Batman. Let's talk about the first time the trailer came out.
Yeah.
Because that was the time. This was back in 89 where nobody had the internet. Nobody's looking at shit. You don't see shit until you go to the movies and see a trailer. And I'm sitting there like, the fuck is this?
Beetlejuice is Batman?
No, well, no.
Or Mr. Mom is Batman?
Well, no, I'm looking at the trailer and I see Jack Nicholson dressed like a gangster and falling in a vat of shit.
Yeah.
And then I see fucking Batman grab him and go, I'm Batman. And I'm Batman. Like, I like totally what just melted you? Off of my seat. What are you?
I'm Batman. You know what got me is in that
don't leave home without it.
In that preview when it showed the Batmobile and remember how it showed the armor going over in the preview? I was like, I don't know what's happening there, but I want to know more about that.
I loved it when Michael Keaton's running. He goes, stop.
And he just walks out into the street, and the car, like, you know, and like Kim Basinger's like, oh, you're gonna crash.
But then, on top of Tim Burton directing it, mm-hmm. Batman being cool, Jack Nicholson being the Joker,
right.
Michael Keaton, who I didn't initially want to be Batman, then I saw him and I was like, oh, fuck. That's Prince does the soundtrack.
Yeah.
I'm Bat like, dance. What the fuck else could you want?
I had that cassette.
I did too.
I might have had the record, the vinyl as well.
I had the cassette. It wasn't that great.
No, but we listened to it all. You know, you listen to it every day.
Yeah, it wasn't that great.
No, but
there was a song on it called "The Future" that I liked though.
Yeah, because it had like the Jack Nicholson Joker voiceover in it.
Yeah, that was Party Man.
Yeah,
yeah.
I enjoyed that.
How we got from Unbreakable to Tim Burton's Batman, I don't know, but. Wasn't a great movie, but it was fun.
It doesn't hold up, though. That's iconic. The problem with it.
What doesn't hold up?
The Burton Batman.
I never thought it held up when I saw it.
Yeah.
It was just a bunch of really well-filmed set pieces, but there was never really a story. There was never really any menace from the Joker.
Yeah.
Devin and I got into an argument. Devin is my son.
That was Who's been on the show before. He was on the third or fourth episode.
We got into an argument about the Joker the other night, and I said in these DC cartoons, because we had just got finished watching Gods and Monsters.
Yeah.
I told him, don't you get tired of the Mark Hamill Joker?
No.
I get tired of
him. He's the Joker. Like, Kevin Conroy is the definitive Batman. I like to call Kevin Conroy the one true Batman.
Right. Well, Devin said this to me. He goes, Dad, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, because, like, I had nightmares about Mark Hamill's Joker because he grew up with the animated series.
He did, yeah.
And I mean, but he didn't. I mean, he's not telling me anything because I watched it too along with him.
Well, okay, but so your first introduction to the Joker was Cesar Romero, like from a live action standpoint.
Yeah,
right. The guy who couldn't be bothered to shave his mustache off; they just painted it white. You know. Like how?
Like
how,
when he drops sandbags on Batman on a stage at like a theater, and he goes, "Sorry to depress you."
And he's throwing like sharks at him in that horrible 1966 movie.
I still think he's quality.
He was great for that show, but like, he's not someone who you're gonna be scared of.
I think DC, the animation company that's doing this right now, Time Warner, whoever they use, they should experiment and veer towards the Heath Ledger style Joker.
The look.
I think they should. Because, to me, that's definitive Joker.
I don't think we're going to see that because the fact that he's dead and the way he died and the fact that it's attributed to him playing that role.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had a, for Suicide Squad, they had a psychiatrist, like, on staff 24/7.
For Jared Leto.
For Jared Leto, in case he went too deep.
Yeah.
So.
That's a shame.
Anyway.
Yeah. What else? What else? How about John Bernthal?
Oh,
Daredevil Season 2.
Okay, so I just, I told you at dinner tonight, I just, Brian and I actually had dinner because, believe it or not, we're friends.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Ebony and Ivory. Joe Piscopo and Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. Anyway, so I just rewatched Daredevil Season 1. I'm just glazing over that. I watched Daredevil Season 1 again in the span of 4 days because, you know, I don't sleep. I'm so pumped up for season two. Seeing the different things with John Bernthal. There was a picture released of him on set with the Punisher skull, and it said Castle on his back, where, you know, obviously that's not something he's going to be wearing during the series because that would be cheesy and lame.
I know they're going to do the full... They're going to, like, do the full Punisher costume.
Like, yeah.
Because this TV show has shown that it's committed to costumes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see where the Daredevil costume goes as well.
Yeah.
Because, like, even, like, so rewatching it, when he was working with Malvin or whatever his
name is. The Gladiator.
The guy who built the suit.
Yeah.
He even said it wasn't done when he gave it to him. So, yeah. Like, you know, it left the door open for, like, hey, let's go finish this and, you know, let's put a DD on
Did
there
you
and...
see... Okay, so Netflix is fucking blowing my mind. Have you seen the people that have been selected for the Luke Cage TV show?
Just Luke.
They're not bullshitting.
No.
Do you watch House of Cards?
Love House of Cards.
You know the bald-headed black guy?
Remy.
Yes.
Yes.
He's been selected as... What's the name of Luke Cage's villain that's based on a fish?
Iron Fist? Iron Fish?
No, fish. I want to say Wide Mouth Bass, but that's not it. I forget.
Anyway,
it's a definitive villain, and they showed a pic of him in a nice dress suit and everything.
Yeah, track that down and put it on the Facebook page.
Yeah, and Alfre Woodard.
Do you know who Alfre Woodard is? Yes, I love her.
Yeah, she's in the show. I forget what character she is, but they're making an effort.
You think she's going to be Misty Knight?
Or did they already say she's going to be? She's too old for Misty Knight.
Okay.
She's too old for Misty Knight. I don't know, but I thought they were gonna phone it in on Luke Cage. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think they're gonna.
I don't think they're phoning it in on any of it.
Well, Jessica Jones looks like it's gonna be good.
I'm excited for David Tennant as Purple Man. Like, I know you're like not up on the like new Doctor Who, but because he was the 10th Doctor, he's just so awesome. And
was he the guy that? Was in 28 Days Later that had that military...
No, that was Christopher Eccleston.
But he was Doctor Who.
He was the ninth Doctor. He was only there for one season. He wore the leather jacket and the black t-shirt.
I actually kind of liked him.
I liked him a lot.
Yeah.
But David Tennant, like, he was... When he was done being the Doctor, right? Like, it was like this heartbreaking...
The guy had the hair combed all over.
Yeah, kind of like what my hair is.
Yeah.
Does when it's behaving. I need a haircut. I know you want to say something about it. Everybody's been telling me, get a haircut.
Brian once called me when I got my haircut. Actually, this my barber just decided, I'm tired when this motherfucker sits in this chair. I'm going to cut all his hair off real quick with a new guard. And before I could say anything, cuts all my fucking hair off. And I'm like, Samson, you cut my hair off. You know, I feel like I'm losing my strength. So... I meet Brian out at Fridays just to discuss one of these episodes, and he's like, oh my God, I didn't know that was you. You look like a lesbian. And I'm just like...
Well, you had like a flannel type shirt on, and you have the two hoop earrings.
I had two hoop earrings in at the time. And
I gotta say, you're looking dapper tonight. I felt like totally underdressed hanging out with you tonight.
Why?
I don't know. Just because I have my ratty like zombie bait shirt on, and my crappy jeans, and my broken down Chucks.
My Chucks are pretty broken down too. Beers have spilled on them and liquor, but whatever.
Although I did take you in to look at the Chuck 2.0s, which I feel are certified.
Yeah, we were in the mall
tonight.
I
can't wait to get those.
We were in the mall tonight and he looked at the Chuck 2.0s. I don't like those. I like old school.
Yeah.
Go classic.
I got a brand new pair, like right there on the floor, the low cut ones.
Go classic, player. Go classic.
But, all right. Hey, It's been a good week.
It's been a good week. We'd like to think that our podcasts are going pretty smoothly. Chime in, guys. We're at 137 fans. I'm not insecure. I know we'll grow at some point. But tell people about this. And I've tried to, hopefully people will chime in and be like, hey, Brian doesn't hate everything. Just after I said I hated Unbreakable. But
yeah, but that's the whole point of that bit, is like talking about something that you do or don't like that everybody else likes.
You know, I mean, it is what it is. Some people are going to get zoned out by it. But, hey, this is why we started this show, to like kind of chime in on things that we like, things that we don't like, things that we want to improve. In fact, I wanted to talk about right before we wrap time. Here.
Yeah,
I had an idea for a show about comic books that we want to see.
Oh,
concepts that have not been done yet. Also, I'd like to do a show about people that try to do comics that had no fucking business doing comics. Like, you know what? I don't know. I haven't read this, so let's don't judge me for dogging this concept out, but many of you know who Run DMC is.
Right.
Did you know DMC has his own comic book based on himself as a superhero?
No.
And he's a superhero that has like tortoiseshell Adidas with no shoestrings in them. He's got a gold chain and his hat is pulled over his head and he has superpowers. The only reason I know about it is because Christian auditioned for Christian Colbert, my friend, collaborator, and artist that I work with on some of my stuff at Ravenhammer. He auditioned for a role as a illustrator, and they hired him as a cover artist. You know, it's almost like Kiss Psycho Circus. Like, they really were vain enough to think they could be the subject of a superhero comic. I never read it either.
I got a screener the other day, or like, I guess it was a month ago, of like a Kiss Scooby-Doo movie. And it's like, how is Kiss still relevant to the Scooby-Doo audience, you know? Like, what little kid is going to be like, Mom, you got to get me Detroit Rock City. Like, right. I need that album. Like, I need that live album now.
And for those of you out there who are too young to know, Marvel did a comic book.
They did a
book,
Kiss comic, didn't they?
But right in the height of Kiss's popularity in the 70s, they did a Treasury edition Psycho Circus.
And that ties back to what we talked about last week about where Marvel needs to get back to looking at what's big in pop culture.
Yeah.
But I mean, let's just really quick, like, what's big in music right now?
Vampire Weekend.
Pretty Girls That Can Dance and emo dudes playing
Beyonce.
You know, two chord, they're, you know.
Rihanna.
Yeah.
Chris Brown, the comic. And that's what I want this show to be about. Because there was a Wu-Tang karate comic.
That, yeah.
And actually,
Shaq Fu was a comic too, wasn't it? I mean, I remember the video game, but wasn't
Shaq
there a comic?
Fu. I don't know if there was a comic, but there was a
There was the Nintendo game that was awful.
Game.
Oh, it was horrible.
Yeah.
It was almost as bad as Superman for the Nintendo 64.
I wanted to like that.
I have it. It's in that
closet. I had it. I bought it.
I still have it.
I bought it when it first came out.
Yeah, I bought it new. Like, I think when I bought the system, I bought it. And knowing it was bad.
And it sucked.
It's all glitchy.
So, was Darkseid in that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Brainiac.
Yeah, Brainiac was in it. So. Wow. But yeah, if there's anything like crazy, quirky ideas like we just threw out there that you guys have, man, comment. Say, hey, we want to see a show on this. Hear a show on that. See a show. Hear a show.
Email us. I mean, tweet at us. Comment on Facebook. You know, we'll go into the spiel now.
When are we going to do a video cast?
Oh, you know, I meant to. We'll Periscope next week's entire episode.
Is that the new buzzword, Periscope?
Yeah, it's the live streaming thing. Well, we won't do the entire episode because we want people to actually listen to it. Like,
right.
But we'll do some of it. I actually got a cool new, like, little.
So you can see the room, so they can see where we do it.
I got a cool little tripod thing that, and now you can do Periscope in the landscape, so we'll be able to capture both of us. Just set it right there.
Movies coming out this weekend on the radar: Black Mass, Johnny Depp.
You're gonna see it, aren't
you? It's a gangster flick about Whitey Bulger. I'm interested. I like Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp, let's see. Classic. Donnie Brasco, certified infamous.
Yeah.
Blow, certified infamous.
Dude, you know who was awesome in Blow?
Who?
Paul Rubens.
He was. He was. He was. So was Ray Liotta.
Yeah. Oh, dude, once Ray Liotta not awesome in?
Well.
Like, even if it's a bad movie, it's fucking Ray Liotta being, like, awesome.
You know what? He was awesome in Copland. Remember Copland?
Everything about Copland was a good
movie. Copland was the shit.
Dude, Sylvester Stallone, like, put on, like, 40 pounds, grew a gut.
He was
like,
good.
You know how he did it? I was reading about it the other day. You know how he did it?
How?
He just ate donuts.
He just ate donuts?
Yeah.
He was awesome.
So, Robert De Niro was really good in that,
too. Robert De Niro.
He's not good in everything.
Here's another. Because he had a very small role in Copland, didn't he?
But he was really good.
Do you remember the small, minuscule role he had in Backdraft? Did we already talk about that?
Yeah, with where he was the...
he was terrifying.
No, he was... In Backdraft, he was the...
He was
the investigator.
He was an investigator, and he took his shirt off, and he was like... Looked like he had been through slavery. Yeah,
because he was talking to Donald Sutherland, and
Donald
Sutherland had that, like...
I gotta buy that.
Childish, like, the fire's alive. Right. It talks to
he was
me.
Like the Hannibal Lecter of fires. Yeah.
So, dude, Backdraft was good, baby.
It was.
We should do that for a throwback one of these
Backdraft,
days.
It was cheesy.
It was Billy Baldwin, right? No,
it was William. Kurt Russell and William Baldwin.
William Baldwin, that's right.
And remember, William Baldwin goes into a fire and Kurt Russell goes, "That's my brother!" Yeah. It was cheesy, but it was good. It was a Ron Howard film.
Yeah, it was one of his first. So
Cocoon was his first.
I think Cocoon was his first. It was like one of his first like big ones, but yeah.
Cocoon, Willow.
I love Willow.
You like Willow?
I do like Willow.
Val Kilmer.
So, which kind of like Willow goes a little bit against like I like the medieval movies with like the sword fights and like, you know, knights and castles and
so you like princesses. Excalibur.
Yes, but I don't like magic. So like
why?
I don't know. It's because in those kind of movies it's a crutch. It's just magic. It's like the Green Lantern ring or Mjolnir. It's like whatever you need to get out of the situation you've written yourself into. Oh, there's a spell for that.
The MacGuffin.
Yeah.
You like Green Lantern.
I do, but at the same time I recognize that the ring is utter bullshit because like, you know, it shouldn't be able to do everything. Like, at some point, Hal Jordan should have got his ass killed.
Yeah.
So
I don't know how you could say that, though. The ring of... A ring, a power ring from Oa.
Yeah.
I mean...
Hey, you know what? Let's talk about this next week. Because, like, as much as I love Green Lantern, like, I call... I call Bravo Sierra on
Let's talk about MacGuffins.
Ooh, yeah. Good idea.
Superhero relics. So you've got... Let's name the relics real quick. Captain America's shield.
Yeah.
Thor's hammer.
Yeah. Green Lantern's ring.
Black Panther's vibranium.
That's
weird.
It's weird and it's not because he comes from like the land where like it's plentiful. So, I don't know. Because like he uses a bunch of different ways.
But it's a very interesting...
Let's talk about it offline and I want to hear about it. Like, I want to hear why. Like, because like I would have never thought about that. Because I always thought like he had like maybe like some little claws made out of vibranium. Yeah, and I know he had the like it. Yeah.
You know, what other relics? Did you read the Mark
Batman's utility belt?
Oh yeah. But you know what I think is more clever than that? I think all of Reed Richards' Fantastic Four shit that they have.
Yeah.
Did you read the Mark Waid Daredevil story where they had one of those four discs off of the chest of one of their costumes and it had all of this, a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent had stolen it and had all this circuitry, this cool shit that it could do. Like, you could go through a wormhole or you could go,
all right.
Yeah, it was crazy shit, but we'll look at some geek shit like that.
I think that's a good thing to talk about next week.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So this weekend, Brian's gonna maybe go see Johnny Depp in Black Mass.
I'm gonna see Black Mass. I'm gonna go to the Cincinnati Comic Con perhaps on Sunday before
On Saturday night, are we gonna hit up the 16-bit?
Yeah. I'd like to
I
do
went
that.
Last weekend. I think I'd... I don't know.
What did they have?
I had fun.
Pac-Man, Space Invaders.
Dude, they had Duck Hunt. They had the old X-Men game. They had Donkey
That's
Kong.
Cool.
I played Rampage for like
Congo
20
Bongo.
Minutes. No, I didn't see that
Tempest.
One.
Tempest.
They had Tempest. They had Joust. They
Tempest,
had...
Tempest, Joust, Centipede.
Spy Hunter. Love driving that car.
Turbo.
I didn't see turbo, but
no turbo. Pole position.
No pole position. It was pretty crowded too. But then they have like Defender. NES senses. No.
What?
No.
So Zaxxon.
They did have that one because I was like, oh my god, I haven't seen this game since like Malibu
Venture.
Nope.
Damn. So,
anyway.
I miss the '80s.
So
we're gonna do an '80s episode too, guys.
If you're in Cincinnati and you're listening to this on Friday or Saturday or Sunday, on Saturday I'll be rocking an Infamous podcast shirt, bothering celebrities,
kicking ass and taking names,
trying to get some sound bites.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
real quick. Next week, Christian Colbert, unadulterated artist for Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, Guardians of the Galaxy, Disney storybooks, coloring books. He's my friend, collaborator,
co-conspirator,
and he wanted to get on this show and talk about our self-publishing
nightmare
adventures and misadventures, nightmares and dreams, and we're gonna break it down. So if there's any people out there that are like having questions about self-publishing and what's it like, what to look for, what to not look for, and what you won't see, tune in to next week's episode so you can figure out, oh, Brian's always saying he's a writer. What does he write? What is the material about? And who's this guy, Christian Colbert, he keeps referring to? So
I still don't believe he exists.
Yeah, he does.
He's like Santa Claus.
He does. He's the white, Barry White. So.
All right, guys. That's it for this week. Episode 9 in the can. Again, hey, go on iTunes. Give us a 5-star review, please. I'm going to start begging each week. It's just going to get more and more pathetic.
You're already pathetic.
I'm not going to argue that. 5-star review would be great. It helps us move up in the rankings so more people can find us and listen to us. You can find Brian on Twitter at Harlem Shadow.
At Lucius.
I was going to say at Lucius Hammer, but it's at Harlem Shadow. He's online at ravenhammer.com.
Yep. Ravenhammercomics.com.
Is it ravenhammercomics?
Yes. www.ravenhammercomics.com. Check it out. Buy books. Criticize the artwork. and just chime in.
So, and as always, I'm Brian Tudor. I'm at Brian Tudor on the Twitter and everywhere else. I started taking pictures for my Deadpool Kills the Lego universe, so that's gonna be kicking back off soon. Yeah, and look for some cool pictures this weekend from the expo on our page, as well as the Queen City Comics page.
By Age of Ultron streaming. When is the DVD drop?
I think
it's coming out soon.
Tuesday.
Revisited the movie. It's a good movie.
It's rewatchable.
Yeah.
As much as I left it with a like I've enjoyed like rewatching it and catching the bits that I missed.
Descender, Drifter, you can't go wrong.
Nope. The Chrononauts.
Yeah, Chrononauts, yeah.
So those three books should keep you busy all weekend. Or all week. Alright guys, we're the Infamous Podcast. We're at Infamous Podcast on Twitter. We're infamouspodcast.com. And hey, email us what you want to hear about at theinfamouspodcast@gmail.com. You guys have a great week.
Got nothing but love for you.
All right, late.
Thank you.